From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, November the 1st, 2011. Every week, this podcast brings you the news that shapes the geospatial technology industry and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief, today in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Great tech companies don't let great salesmen become CEOs. Why? They don't know squat about product. This is taken from an article in Information Week, which was a quote from Steve Jobs. It was kind of his last parting shot against rivals, as he notably disses such people like Steve Ballmer all the way from the grave. But the broader message, perhaps, once the soundbite is put in context, again quoting from Information Week, is that salesmen as CEOs typically means the death of potentially great companies. Is this true for geospatial in the wild west of location-based services and social networking companies? You'll hear our take on this and more, but first a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Join us for a free U.S. nationwide seminar to learn how to extend the reach of your GIS. Get more information and register today at esri.com/extendyourreach.
So enter Steve Jobs' axiom that companies stagnate when salespeople run the show. I'm going to again quote from the Information Week article that we'll post in the show notes. I have my own theory about why the decline happens at companies like IBM or Microsoft. The company does a great job, innovates, and becomes a monopoly or close to it in some field, and then the quality of the product becomes less important. The product starts valuing great salesmen because they're the ones who can move the needle on revenues, not the product engineers and designers, so the salespeople end up running the company, unquote. So this is from Steve Jobs, and we're going to take this quote and his impression or his opinion of why salespeople don't make good CEOs of tech companies and try to apply this to some of the geospatial technology companies that we know. And again, I'll start with the obvious one, and that's Esri. Jack Tangeman's background is of a more technical nature, graduating in landscape architecture. But the guy obviously had an incredible love of technology and shepherded the product development of that organization, building it to a near billion-dollar company from humble beginnings in 1969. So some 40 years later, he has incredible following, incredible regard for technology in general, and therefore his users take this away with them, adopt the product as their own, and sort of adopt his own philosophy. And it's a great example of a tech guy running a company. But you have to understand that he's an incredibly savvy businessman as well. And from a business perspective, you don't get to where you are as a billion-dollar company without having some business smarts. So, yeah, techie in the beginning, but businessman maybe towards the end for sure.
Yeah, it's hard for me to remember that Jack Dangerman did start with his hands on the technology, because certainly my interactions with him through the years, he was much more the businessman, and if anything, the lead salesman for the company.
Exactly. Yes.
I think he really grew into the businessman salesman from that early technology experience, and I have a sneaking suspicion that that's a rarity.
Well, I would have to agree with you, because not every sales guy can get their hands dirty with the product, nor perhaps want to. But remember, Jack and his ilk, and certainly Steve Jobs, came about it from a love of the product and was so passionate about the product that that was relayed as a salesman-type experience, you know, that they become that guy who can sell it as well as love it passionately from a technology perspective.
And yet, it's hard for me to think of Jack Dangerman as a product-loving person, because I don't see him standing up holding a box of software back when we had boxes of software next to his face in the same way that Steve Jobs held up the iPhone, because it's more about what the software can do. Because remember, what ESRI sells isn't software. It's a tool to change the world.
And you know, though, what he does, though, is he actually sells his customers. He'll put his customers as almost the product in a kind of a bait and switch kind of a mode. You know, he really likes his customers and the successes that his customers have realized from using his products. So he almost sells his customers as much as he sells the boxes.
Which comes right back to the fact that he is a salesman.
Yeah.
And has put together a very successful company.
Exactly. So let's take a few other examples from the world of geospatial. And my own experience, of course, is with Intergraph. The most recent CEO was Halsey Wise. Now Halsey was brought in as a guy to take this company from kind of the depths of despair and prop it up to something and focus the product end of it. And he was a numbers guy, but he really cut away the chaff from the company and let the product people focus on developing what they thought they were good at. And I don't mean for a moment that he loved the product. He really just tried to focus. And he really wasn't a sales guy either. But what he did was he took the company from the depths, propped up the numbers, sold it twice, actually, once to the private equity market and then to Hexagon, where now Ulla Rowland, another numbers guy, has taken it. And I question whether you have two numbers guys back to back, whether the products can succeed. I think there's incredible potential with Intergraph in now that it's on solid financial footing to be more of a product and services company, but you've had back-to-back numbers guys in roles that are of a major technology company in geo.
It's hard to know how that's going to play out, and I guess this is a good time to bring up this idea that as much as there is a CEO and a leader for a technology company, there is always a team. And part of the success or failure of that company revolves around the nature of that team. Do you have the right CTO? Do you have the right COO? Do you have the right CMO? And when they get in a room together, is it really noisy and they fight a lot? Or is it really quiet because they're all nodding and smiling at each other? My sense, and you've certainly studied business far more than I have, I am a great believer in putting a team together where there's some good, healthy friction in that people have differing ideas and have to convince one another of the way forward. I think a lot of the success or failure of Intergraph in its new home has to do with that team. Because if you're a numbers guy, you need to have a technology person that you can listen to, that you trust, who can really convince you of the appropriate technology way forward. Good CTOs are hard to find.
Do you need a product evangelist in these organizations? Do you think you have to have somebody at the figurehead who can sell it as well as get their hands a little bit dirty in the technology side of it?
Well, we're in this time now where the face of the CEO is the company. And everyone's going to pull out their iPhone and watch what Larry Ellison has to say about the future of Oracle in a very different way than was 20 or 30 years ago, where we all had to go to Comdex to hear and see what Bill Gates was doing and what Larry Ellison was doing. So I think in these times, you really have to have that person who stands out in front, and it need not be the CEO. In fact, in some cases, the CEO is not the right person to get up front. Let's look at Carl Bass at Autodesk. Very smart guy, technology guy, came in through the technology side. He would not be the face of Autodesk if I was running the circus.
But yet he seems to be a more than adequate guy to get up there, and he's kind of an off-the-wall kind of individual, and I think does a pretty good job of being the face of Autodesk. He may not be the numbers guy, and I think he defers to a lot of his CFOs on conference calls for quarterly numbers, but from a client and customer point of view, I think probably people like him. That's my impression.
does he have the name recognition and the face recognition and the sense of connection that, say, Carol Bartz had?
Well, that's a really good question, and I would have said no up until I was reading the Wall Street Journal the other day, and I saw him noted in one of those large full-page ads for a technology conference, and he was on, along with many other notable people in the tech industry, as being somebody who was going to be a speaker. And it's the first time I've ever seen him recognized in that kind of an advertisement for a CEO coming in to speak. So perhaps he's getting into that role. He's working himself into that role more and more, perhaps.
Let me try a different explanation. Autodesk is trying to push him out in front of Autodesk to be that person.
Well, that's also a possibility. I think Carol did such a great job in that role that Carl certainly had fairly big shoes to fill.
Big shoes. And she took her big shoes and went over to Yahoo, and despite the challenging situation Yahoo finds itself in, everybody paid attention when Carol spoke.
Well, most definitely, because she had the bona fides from years of building Autodesk into a billion-dollar company. I frankly don't think she was probably given adequate time at Yahoo, but there was such a mess there anyway that perhaps no one could have succeeded.
Now, that brings up another very important question as we look at this, which is, who are those other voices that we turn to in geospatial? Who are those leaders of those companies that we have that relationship with? Do people even know who the head of TomTom is or the head of Navtech?
No, and even before Judson Green left Navtech, I don't think anybody knew of him and his a career at Disney, for example, but I interviewed him at least once, maybe twice, and found the guy to be, very an interesting character. And if you look at his background, a very talented individual outside of the company, but nobody knew him,
Right. And nobody. And it's hard to say, again, whether that was the path that he chose for himself or that the company and the board of directors chose. Remember, there's a lot of players here. And I think what we're coming back to is that some part of the job of that CEO is either to be the face of the company or to identify the face of the company and get them out there.
And yet, when I look at somebody like a Steve Ballmer, for example, and I know that we're a little off the topic of geo, but Ballmer is always out there, and he's a sales guy, and whether you can fault him for not being a techie or not, he's the guy who's the face of a big company. And to me, it's almost necessary to have somebody out there and be that individual who can be the spokesperson. If whether you're a techie or a sales guy, you got to be able to communicate. I just think that every company seems to need that. And geo is no different than any other industry.
Okay, now all the companies we've talked about thus far are, pardon the expression, old. Right? They've been around for quite
been a while.
Some time. They come from a very traditional software data marketplace. And let's spin forward to some of the newer companies. Let's talk about Fortius One. Who's the face of that company? I'm sure if I said Sean Gorman, you'd say, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's a guy we've known about for some time. He's the one who's on Twitter talking about the company. Is he the CEO? No. There's another guy that no one's ever heard of who's the CEO of that company.
Yeah.
So different model, different time. Remember that these newer companies that are clustering around the geospace are not Jack Dangerman sleeping in his car eating beans and M&S Engineering turning into Intergraph. It's VC capital. It's all done in the cloud, in the web. It's got barely a business model, depending on who you talk to. So it's a whole different ball game, and that presence is very different than it used to be. And to take another example, Foursquare, the hottest location-based social network situation we've got out there. Dennis Crowley's name is out there. He's at all the conferences. He's on Twitter. He's speaking for the company. People might even recognize him if he was walking down the street.
Yeah, could be. And yet his background is kind of interesting. I thought that he has a degree in communications. In fact, 2 degrees. He's got a bachelor's in interactive telecommunications from NYU. So quasi-techie in background, but perhaps knew what people wanted more than knew how to construct a product. I think he was probably more in touch with people and how to communicate than anything else, than being more of a tech guru.
I think he's very much a humanities kind of person. Yeah. Who got a degree, I should add, that didn't even exist when the folks that we were talking about previously went to school.
Yeah, very, very clever. Yes, that's true. That's true. Very different type of educational background.
And there are so many different ways to play that leadership role. And let me pick on one more company that I think just sort of blows everything we're talking about out of the water, and that's Safe Software, which is, frankly, an older geo company. I mean, they've been around as long as I've been paying attention, so that's a long time. But while there is a president, and if pressed, I don't think people could tell you if Don or Dale was the president. Don Murray is, in fact, the president.
Mm-hmm.
But these two guys are both technical. They both still have their hands in the code. They've kept it a small company, and they, two guys, are the face of the company. And I don't know if there's some switched at birth thing, or maybe they really are brothers, or they have ESP or whatever, but there seems to be an on the same page sort of thing going on that has kept that company incredibly successful, even as it's growing and not changing its market almost at all over its tenure in the industry.
Yeah, that's a really good example, because they've done a fabulous job in developing their product, getting their name out there. And they did the hard work. And in fact, Jobs talks about this in the article that we'll post. I'm going to paraphrase, he feels that a lot of the tech startup companies were only trying to sell their company to somebody else, and that these smaller tech companies failed to do the hard work to build their company into what he obviously built Apple into. He felt, you know, people like Intel and Hewlett and Packard, those guys, and I'm quoting him, they did the hard work of building their company. And certainly Dale and Don have done a similar thing on a smaller scale, but they didn't immediately go out and run to somebody to try to sell it. In fact, I still don't think they have any venture capital behind them. So they're not really out there trying to sell. Maybe if they had a good offer, they'd sell. But the fact is that they're doing the hard work to build their company up, and they've done a fabulous job.
And I have to go back to this idea that that's a very old idea of what a business is about.
Exactly. And I think so many people are looking for that quick buck, that quick turnaround, that idea. And in fact, I always thought Wear 2.0 was nothing more than a bunch of people getting up on stage and trying to sell their business to Google, who would happen to be in the audience. And I thought that was an unfortunate situation.
And have any of them succeeded in selling those companies?
Well, I think perhaps some, well, let's put very few. Well, I think very few have. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, Esri, would like to remind you that you are invited to share your GIS story at the 2012 Esri Federal GIS Conference. Submit an abstract describing how you have used Esri technology by November 11th, 2011. For more information, visit esri.com/FedCon. That's FEDCON. If you'd like to leave a comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com, or leave a comment in the comment box where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine. I'd like to remind you that the 2012 Location Intelligence Conference is coming up May 22nd and 23rd, and it's an event that will be in collaboration with the Oracle Spatial Users Conference. More information can be found at locationintelligence.net. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.